Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We're speaking this morning on Christ, the head of the church, or the congregation. The English word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means assembly or congregation. And we're going to begin reading in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May we pray. Our gracious Father, may you bless the word to our hearing, open up our hearts and understanding that we might receive the word to strengthen us, build us up in the faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I hope this morning that this message will encourage you to read the Word of God. And if I was to ask how many has read the book of Acts, imagine everyone here sometime or the other has read the book of Acts. I hope the things I bring out this morning will be an encouragement to you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is still working today in his churches. He's the resurrected, been resurrected, sitting on the right hand of God, but he's also walking in the midst of his churches, his congregations. And as we think about this verse, he's the head over all things to the church. Now, there's one verse that we quote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, how do we know that all things are working together for our good? Because Jesus is the head over all things. And where all things come under his authority, all things in time and eternity. So no matter what comes into your life, Jesus Christ is the head over everything that comes into your life, in my life. What a blessing that is. The first thing I want to bring out to your attention is that all things were created by him and for him. In Colossians 1, 15 through 18, and Colossians 1, 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Beloved, we serve a great God. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, and all things that are visible and invisible in heaven and in earth. All the angels, all the myriads of angels, all the galaxies, everything was created by him and for him, for his glory. I like the verse. It says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And in Revelation 4:11 it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything was created for the pleasure of God, for his pleasure. He's also called the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. It says in Corinthians 2, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. Now, that David mentioned a few weeks ago in one of his sermons, the importance of the word Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord comes before Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in James made this statement in James 2, 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, With respect of persons, we shouldn't have respect of persons. Everyone in the church of God is equal. We've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We all come the same way, depending on the grace of God. Depending on the grace of God. He's the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords. I'm giving you a little picture of who we're talking about this morning. The one that's the head of the church, the one that's over His assemblies, the one that's in control of all things, is the Lord of Glory. He's the Creator. He's the King of Kings. It says in Revelation 17, 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." And it says in verse 16 of chapter 19, "And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written," this is in capital letters, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." There's none greater than Jesus Christ. He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the Master of all masters. He is the Lord God Almighty, and we praise God for that. He's the Lord of His people. Acts 2:36 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's the Lord and Christ. And He was that from glory, and He is now being declared that in His humanity as the Lord and Christ, the Messiah. He's called the Son of God. Paul says in Acts 9:20, "And straightway He preached Christ in the synagogue, that He is the Son of God." He's the eternal Son of God. He was manifested in human flesh to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Another verse, He's called the Almighty. The Almighty. In Revelation 1:8, "I am Alpha." That's the first beginning of the Greek alphabet. "And Omega." That's the last vowel of the Greek alphabet. "The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." There's none greater than the Lord. He is the Almighty One. Everything, Satan, demons, the wickedness of this world, all the kings of this world, the presidents, all the rulers of this world come under His authority. He's the King of the universe. He's the King of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. Now, bringing all this down to this point, Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, and remember, He's the head over the church. He's the Master of the church. He's the Lord of the church. He says in Matthew 16, 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Beloved, Jesus is the head of His church. He's building the church. "I will build my assembly. I will build my ecclesia." And this is so true, because we're going to see next that the Lord Jesus bought the church with His own blood. He bought the church, the assembly. Each one of His people were bought by His blood. Acts 20:28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God." What's the responsibility of pastors? To feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You've been bought. You're not your own, Paul says in Corinthians 6. You've been bought with a price, and that price is what? The blood of Jesus Christ paid for our sins. What is our hope of eternal salvation? The blood of Christ. He's redeemed us. He shed His blood for us. And we come before Him and He forgives us. Why? Because He bought us with His precious blood. No person on the earth is the head of the church. No pastor is the head of the church. No minister is the head of the church. No association is the head of the church. We have one head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He says in Matthew 20:18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority is in Jesus Christ. All authority. Jesus Christ is the life of the church. We have life in the church because of Jesus. He's what he said in John 14:19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we have life. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at the love demonstrated. God loved me. Christ loved me. What did he do? How did he prove it? He died for me. He gave himself to hang on a tree and be crucified for you and me. That's who the head of the church is. The Lord of glory, the Almighty God. The Lord of glory, the omnipotent God, the Creator, came down and died as our substitute. What wonderful love could ever be demonstrated? No wonder we should love him. We should give ourselves wholly to him. The church didn't die for you. The Lord died for you. We don't worship the church. We worship the Lord. It's the Lord who gets all the praise. We meet in the house of God because it's the house of God. It's the church. It's the congregation that the Lord saved. He washed it in his blood, and he brings us, as we're going to see, into the church. And I'm going to show you how he does that. Christ is still active today as he was years ago. When it comes to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in the book of Acts, it says in Acts 1:1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. In Acts, we see him ruling and building his church. If you'll read through Acts 1:1 all the way through, you will see Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit building his church. It's a wonderful book to read. I pray that you will read it prayerfully. In the first chapter of Acts, we see something going on. Christ appeared to them. He gave them word. They saw him. All of a sudden, he was ascending up into heaven. And then he told them to wait in the upper room. And then they had a prayer meeting. And it says in Acts 1:24, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen to replace Judas Iscariot. Who do they pray into? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is who they were praying to. Lord. And verse 25, it said that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And it says in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And the Lord caused ministers even then to be to replace Judas Iscariot, as today he calls pastors and teachers, shepherds and under shepherds, to be in his congregation. Ephesians chapter 4. It's the Lord who puts ministers into the church. He calls them through the Holy Spirit to be ministers. He puts the burden on their hearts. They have a burning desire to preach the word. And unless they preach, they cannot be content. They must preach the word of the living God. Jesus is the one that calls people to the church. It's a privilege and an honor, plus an obligation and very serious to be called to stand and preach the word of God in the house of God, the congregation of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus is active in the early church. He chose the one that was to take Judas Iscariot's place. He's the one that was in charge of the lot when they cast lots. Because what? He's the head over all things to the church. Jesus answered their prayer in the upper room. And in Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus building his church. Now we go from Acts 1. They were praying on the day of Pentecost. Who was it was to baptize with the Holy Spirit? It wasn't the Holy Spirit that was to baptize the Holy Spirit himself. It was the Lord Jesus that was to baptize the congregation, the assembly, the church, with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The filling of the Holy Spirit. It was the Jesus. Now we see Jesus active. See, some people read Christ went to heaven, he's up in heaven, and he's looking down on earth. No, he's up there. He's reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's also present through the Holy Spirit. He's walking in the midst of his churches, as it says in the book of Revelation. He's here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He's here this morning. Can you see him with the eye of faith? The eye of faith. Jesus said, I'm here. Does faith see it? Does faith see? We see Christ here with us. He promised it, and he does not lie. He said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age or end of the world. In chapter 2, we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, look at this promise. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord, notice that, the Lord our God shall call. Who does the calling? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said he will call his people to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus is in charge of calling people from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's busy. He's working in his churches. He's working in their lives. Notice in verse 21 of Acts 2. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who we're talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ is who we're talking about. He's the Lord. He's the one that gives the call. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know, we're preaching the gospel, the outward call. Everyone hears my voice. If you have ears to hear, you can hear my voice. That's the outward call. But Jesus gives that inward call, Brother Roger, through the Holy Spirit. And he brings that out in the Gospel of Matthew. For many are called, but few are chosen. All the who hear may hear the outward calling of the preacher, but few are chosen to hear the inward call. It's when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart and draws you, then you have that desire to come and join the Lord's church. That's the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, the call of God. But the calling of God, beloved, that call, that holy calling, what a precious, precious verse that is. It shows that Jesus is in charge today. And goes on to say, now remember, we're talking about the Lord. In verse Acts 2:47, the Lord was adding to his church daily such as were being saved. He was adding to the congregation. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, notice that, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, adding to the church daily such as should be saved or such as were being saved. He was adding them to the congregation. Who? The Lord Jesus. He called them by his marvelous grace. As we're going to see how he did that in a few moments. And they were being added to the congregation or to the Lord, to the church, as they were being saved. What a blessing that is. Now, how does he do that? First of all, the Lord gives saving faith to his people. He gives saving faith. Now, we know that unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He gives the new birth. A man is born again. He's translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's the kingdom of his dear son. And then something happens. God gives each one of his called ones saving faith. He gives them faith. Notice Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He gives faith. Faith is the gift of God. Now here's a verse you may not have thought about. And it's a very, very good verse. Faith in Jesus and faith from Jesus is brought out in Acts 3:16. Acts 3:16. Now notice how it reads. And his name, through faith in his name, faith is in Christ. That's where you put your faith at. Don't put your faith in me or Brother Dave or Brother Roger. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the Lord of glory. He's the King of kings. Faith in Christ. Notice how it goes now. Through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him. Where did this faith come from? This faith came by Jesus Christ, by Christ. The faith, the object of that faith was in Christ, and that subjective faith came from Christ. Because it says in Hebrews that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of God. So faith that we put in Christ, that faith is a gift of God and put in our hearts by Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift. We should be very thankful that God gives us faith freely, freely, freely. It's by the free grace of God. Philippians 1:29, it says it was given you not only to suffer for his name, but to believe on him. It's given. Faith is given. It's been given to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear my voice. The voice of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the midst of his churches. He's calling. Now, you don't have to be in the church to be called by the Lord Jesus. You can be in your bedroom. You can be out in the world. You can be anywhere. But there comes a day Jesus will call his sheep by his power. And if he calls them, they will come unto him. He says, they will hear my voice and they will follow me. That's a sign of being a sheep. Are you following the great shepherd of the sheep? The Lord gives repentance. No one can repent of themselves. The Lord has to give repentance. There's so much preaching today that you can repent anytime you want to. Just repent. Beloved, unless God gives you repentance, you cannot repent. Now, I have scripture to prove that. Acts 5:31 says about Christ, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. He's a prince, hallelujah, and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He gives repentance. He don't offer it. He gives you repentance. In Acts 11:18 it says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying that God hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. God granted repentance to Gentiles like you and I. We're Gentiles. We're not a Jew, so we're a Gentile. He granted us repentance. Praise God. I'm glad he granted me repentance. And 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God gives repentance. Now, we have there's many examples in the Word of God about Christ's power converting people. He's the King. He's the Lord of glory. He can take the most wickedest, vilest, ungodliest sinner and make him a saint. He can take the one who hates him the most and change his life. And the first example we see is the Apostle Paul. Here was someone who hated the church of God. He hated the name of Jesus Christ. He hated Christians. He went around finding them and arresting them and putting them in prison, making them curse the name of God. Paul was anti-Christ, if any man was, is it when he was lost and undone without Christ. And he gives his testimony in Acts chapter 9. There's two testimonies, but we'll read this one. And he fell on the earth, fell to the earth, Paul. I heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now Jesus had appeared to him on the road to Damascus, a shining light. You know, Paul was blinded for a while and couldn't see after that. They had to lead him around. But Christ appeared to Paul personally. What a marvelous impact that had on Paul's life. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" See? Right off he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonishing, said, "Lord." What's the first thing Paul cried out after he was quickened by the Holy Spirit? "Lord." He knew who he was. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, Paul, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And to you who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ today, the word of God was written, and we're proclaiming what you're to do if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to follow him. You're to follow him. Follow the Lord. You can follow a man and be discouraged. You can follow this man and he can fall. You can follow any man and he can fall. But there's one man, one Lord, he'll never let you down. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The man of God, Jesus Christ, the God-man. We see Paul changed in a moment. He was called by the Holy Spirit. Called, the Lord called him, translated him out of darkness into light. And the next thing, Paul didn't even know what happened. He said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" He was changed before he ever called. See, the inward call came, Brother Roger. And Saul was made Paul in a moment. And he was an enemy of God. He hated Christ. And see, in a moment, Christ changed him. So all of you that's under my voice, there's hope for each one of you if you don't know the Lord. Because the Lord can call you in a moment, change your heart in a second, that fast. Because he's the Lord of his people. He shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. He's doing the saving right now. He's adding to his church daily those who are being saved by his grace, by his power. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, I will send you another comforter. Be strengthened with in the inner man through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active in the book of Acts. Jesus is active in the book of Acts. The Father is active in the book of Acts because all three are God and there's only one God. And we're grateful for seeing that Jesus is still active in his churches today. Not 2,000 years ago, but today he's adding to the churches those that are being saved by his power and grace. We also see another one. It's a good example of God's grace. Lydia. In the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Now notice this, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. Who opened her heart? The Lord Jesus. He opened her heart for what purpose? That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That same Greek word is used in Acts 16:26, the word opened. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. That's when Paul and Silas was locked up in prison. And immediately the doors were opened and every one of the bands were loose. That doors were opened there. That's the same word as translated, God opened her heart. So the power of an earthquake opened the gates and the power of God opened her heart. It takes the same power of God to open a sinner's heart, beloved, to be attentive to the things spoken by Paul. We see the Lord working in his church. We see the Lord working in people's lives. What a blessing it is. He opened whose heart the Lord opened. So if your heart's been open this morning, lift up holy hands and give thanks to God. Heart has been opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows you who is the head of his church. Who's the head of all things? Who's adding to his church? He is. He has the authority. Roger, Brother Dave, myself, we don't add to the church. Jesus adds to the church through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Who adds to Grace Chapel? Who adds to Covenant? Who adds to all these other churches? Jesus is adding, present tense, to his churches by his effectual call, by giving faith, by giving repentance, giving them a desire to come and be baptized and follow Christ and be a member of his congregation, of his assembly. This is not our assembly, it's his assembly. We, the assembly, this is a meeting house. We call this the church. No, this is a meeting house. We are the assembly, we the people. We assemble in this meeting house to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And in closing, I want to give you a few things to encourage you as you read the book of Acts, as you see the power of God working in the book of Acts. I mean, there's many stories, Cornelius over there, the Italian band, and others that were saved in the book of Acts, the jailer, how God marvelously saved him. The power of God came upon him. He cried out, "What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Everything points to Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Now, as we're closing in this message, I want you to see a few things of the power of God being demonstrated in the early church. This is encouraging. We serve a God that's alive, Brother Dave. He's alive. He's alive. He's risen. And because he lives, we live. His church will never be prevailed against. Why? Because Jesus, all things are under his control. What about the suffering of the church? He's the one that brings the suffering to purify his church. Churches always grew stronger, not weaker. Churches become weak when they become lukewarm. What did he tell the church in Revelation? Repent and return to your first love because you're lukewarm. Beloved, it's easy to get complacent and lukewarm as Christians. We have to guard against that. And sometimes God will allow trials to come into our lives to get us out of our lukewarmness, to make us realize how serious it is to serve God. We're serving the true and living God. A God who's in control of all things. He's in control of your life. He's in control of my life. He can take our life at any moment. He can just, it's gone. You're gone that quick. He can take us in a car wreck. He can take you with a heart attack. He can take you with many things, with cancer. The Lord can take you out of this world in a moment. He's in charge. Remember that. God's in charge. We're not in charge. He is. Our next breath comes from the Lord. You couldn't breathe unless God gave you breath. Paul says we live and move and have our being in God. We couldn't live outside the existence of God. He is existence for all of us, for life. Now looking at these verses. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They received his word. What did they do? They were baptized. If you receive the word of God, God's you a believer, the next thing for you to do, I say this on the authority of God's word, is to be baptized. That's following Christ. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The same day the Lord added to the church on the day of Pentecost 3,000 souls in one day. How is that possible? Because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was working in people's hearts, calling them, redeeming them, giving them faith and repentance, and they were being added to the church. As they were being saved, they were being added to the church. Hallelujah. That's the first time we see. The next thing we see is in verse Acts 2:47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, and such as were being saved. He was adding daily back then. But what a marvelous thing it must have been in that time to be living when people were coming in daily, daily, daily. Thousands were coming in to the church of God by the power of the Lord. Acts 4:4 says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now here we have 5,000 being added. You say, how is that possible? Because Jesus Christ was calling them. The Holy Spirit was converting them. They were being added to the church daily. Believers was added to the church. They were baptized and added to the church. 5,000 men. God was moving in the early church. The book of Acts, you see the power of God being demonstrated all through the book of Acts. You see God manifesting and saying, this is my church. Here's the evidences of it. The apostles had great power to heal and do many marvelous things in the early church. They were healing people because it was a giving crediting that this was the church of Jesus Christ, the living, the church of the living God, the true and living God. What an honor it is. I say this in witness of all of you. What an honor to be a member of the Lord's assembly, whom he loved and died and gave himself for. Also we see in Acts 5:14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. You see God adding men and women to the church. Multitudes. Thousands were being added to the early church. I read somewhere in the early church there was over 50,000, 75,000 before long in the church when it first started. Just it grew and multiplied. Then that's when persecution came and scattered the church. But that was for the purpose of spreading the gospel throughout the world. See, God has all things in control. You say, how they suffered in the early church. Yes, but it was all for the honor and glory of God. Stephen, who loved the Lord, John the Baptist. But they were called to be a martyr for the Lord. That was an honor. Oh, I feel sorry for John. He lost his head. But beloved, he was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen was stoned to death, calling on the name of the Lord and said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he was a martyr for Jesus. I hope we can have the same love and the same devotion if we're called to be a martyr for Christ. Now, I don't like to suffer, don't get me wrong. But I pray by the grace of God that I'd be willing to lay down my life for the cause of Christ and that you would. And in ourselves, we couldn't do it because we'd back up like Peter did and deny the Lord. It's only by the grace of God that we could do that. In Acts 11:24, it says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added to the Lord. Acts 13:48, which you're familiar with this verse. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What comes first? Ordaining to eternal life, then believing. Some people want to make you become believed, then you become an elect. No, you elect first. That's why you are ordained to eternal life, then you believe. Here's another verse in Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how that he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. He had granted the Gentiles faith. He opened the door of faith to us Gentiles. We're Gentiles. Let us praise his holy name. That it wasn't just for the Jews only. When it speaks about God so loved the world, it's talking about he loved Jew and Gentile both, not just the Jews. He loved Jew and Gentile. Oh, beloved, there's not going to be one lost or one added to the Lord's people. All those he died for will be saved. Not one less, not one more. Every one of them is be accounted for. He said, I've lost none, Brother Roger. And I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone he died for will be resurrected with eternal life. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And in Acts 15:7 it says, And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto the men, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us. Now notice what it says. God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And believe. God made that choice. He's the one that determined, ordained, that his sheep would hear his voice through the gospel and they would believe and follow him, Brother Roger. Amen. God made that choice. In Acts 28:28, it says, "Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles," and notice this last phrase, "and they will hear it." Why? Because God opens a heart by his power. He opened Lydia's heart that she attended to the things spoken by Paul. She heard those things, and every one of his blood-bought children, God opens their hearts, the Gentiles, and those who are called, they will hear it. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's in charge. You're not in charge. God is. When God opens your heart, it'll be effectual. I like this verse too. This is of Acts 15:17. "That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." Who was doing all these things in the churches back then? Who was saving all of these people? Who were calling them and opening up their hearts? Jesus was. He was active in his early church. He's active today. You're here this morning because of the divine appointment. You're not here by accident. God brought you here. It speaks about those that gather together in my name. He gathers. He gathers. The Holy Spirit gathers. You're here by his appointment. You're here by God's call. The who doeth all these things. Who's working in your life, in my life? Jesus is. He says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And in closing, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Who's working in you? God's working in you to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Paul says, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Who's living in you? Christ is. He's alive in us, in his assembly. Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you," notice this, "both the will and to do of his good pleasure." Hallelujah. The Lord's in charge. I hope that encouraged you. As you read the book of Acts, may you remember one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of his church. He's the head of all things. He's the Lord of glory. And he's coming again. Someday he's going to call us up to be with him. We'll meet him in the air, in the clouds. May we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of thy word. We thank you for the book of Acts and for all the blessings that are seen therein. Lord, we've only touched a few things. There's so much there. But I pray what's been said will be a blessing to our hearts, that you may encourage us, and that we may bow and say, thank you, Lord, that you're the one in control, that you're in control of all things, the devil and demons in this world and everything that's in it. And one day you're coming again, and you could call us up. We'll be resurrected or changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall be absent from this body and be present with the Lord, as Brother Dave read in our hearing. Thank you, Father, for those words. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?